Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says, every day we bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Father, we thank you. He that praises the Lord glorifies the Lord. And to him that all his conversation arise, O Lord God, I will say, bless them. So, Father, we thank you. That's all you know. You created us for fellowship with the Lord. No, fellowshipping with the Lord, magnify his name, living in his presence. Lord, we thank you for being with me this morning, as you have promised us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, we worship you, the singing. And we know you already inhabit our praises. That's what you say you will do for your people. Lord, we thank you, Father. Now, at the reading of your word this morning, we pray that, Lord, O Father, the Holy Spirit will throw more light to us than we know before. Lord, even the angels who have been with you years of time don't know all about you, Lord. Just a micro, you know, speaking part of you that they know. You part want them to know. So therefore, Lord, the Bible says we should increase in the knowledge of God, even ourselves too. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you. We worship you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Well, we are living at the time of the fulfillment of prophecy and so on, so we can't just get away from prophecy, you know. As it's written somewhere that the Bible says the most prophetical generation is that the Lord God will raise up. We are in that generation right now. And the prophecy is running out now, running, we run up, you know, with the Jews and so on and that, you know. So the church age is finishing off, the Gentile era is finished, the time of the Gentiles, you know, it's been fulfilled already, you know. And the Bible says the pattern to the Jews and so forth. So the Bible says at the end of time, a willful king will arise. So I want to talk about him this morning. Because the events in the world are leading to this king. They are prophecy fulfilling. So this morning, the willful king of the end time. See? So the apocalypse of Daniel tells us, the Bible is written, prophecy is written for us to understand it. That God gave it to his people to understand the chain of God. Where to all that may be in parables. But as the age closes, God promised that prophecy will be understood by his children. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's why we can't get away from it. Much more so, the events arrived before us, the Bible foretold. About 2 Sundays ago, we went line by line in the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel. And we traced history. How, you know, that you know, in the first 1 to 30 verses of that book of 11th of Daniel, we were able to pinpoint in history every particular place where prophecy was fulfilled. And we know it was a dual prophecy. Half of it, verse 1 to 30 of that chapter, tells about, you know, the king of the north at different times, you know, of the age and so forth in the history of the world. We are able to nail it down, you know, according to how the Bible says it will be. And we know the second half of that chapter, which is Daniel 11, is telling of the real one that will come at the end of the age, called the willful king of the end time. So anyway, Daniel 11, 30 to 35 are transitional. We talk too much about the Antiochus Epiphanes. We wonder why we are talking about him all the time here, because it was one of the real type, you know, of the Antichrist and so forth. And the Bible tells us, even the book of Revelation, or even the book of John, I say, yes, how that the Antichrist will come, he said, and now are there many Antichrists. If at the time, 2,000 years ago, he's talking of the Antichrist, you know, many of them are here, what shall we say nowadays? The real one is even, we don't know it. Waiting to be revealed, really, you know, that's where we are at right now, you know. Anyway, so the 30 to 35 verses of Daniel 11 are transitional. And we talk so much about Antiochus, you know, as on that, you know, in our series here. But in this chapter, we talked about him 2 weeks ago too, you know, the king of the north. And we mentioned that, don't forget, when we read Daniel 11, king of the north, king of the south, is not an individual. They come and go in that title, you know. So they come and go in that title. But there will be the last one in this age, you know, the last king of the north. I think we're going to touch it here, I believe it's in there. There will be the last king of the north and the last king of the south that terminate all prophecy and so forth, and usher a new age, not the new age as now. So anyway, so 30 to 35 are transitional. Antiochus faded away from the scene, because we talk about him a lot. I can't go over that this morning. And the prophecy leaps forward. The willful king of the end time then comes into view. in the prophetic picture of that chapter of the book of Daniel. It's written for God's church to understand. Book of Revelation is written for God's church to understand. Oh, is it a sad thing? How many, not many churches touch on any of these things? They even running away from it and so forth. Anyway, Antiochus and his wicked deeds are actually a prophetic foreview of what will take place under the Antichrist. The Antichrist is now the principal character that prophecy has in view. You see, he went through history, type of them, but now zero in the last half of this chapter of the real Antichrist and so on, comes into view and so on. Now, we are told, crafts shall be made to prosper in the hands of this willful king. He's talking about in Daniel 8:2, you know. So, his power is mighty, having received it from Satan. His enemy himself fall one after another before him in this age. He follows the course of Antiochus, who vented his rage on the Jews and polluted their temple. At the beginning of his reign, the willful king pretends to be a friend of the Jews and makes a covenant with them, but we later break it. As shown in Daniel 9:24-27, we might touch it briefly here this morning and so on. So beginning from Daniel 11:31, and arms shall stand on his path, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And the Lord said in Matthew 24, about 15 to 22nd verses, that the event will initiate the great tribulation. I don't have enough time to go to that chapter in Matthew 24, but the Lord said when they see the abomination mentioned by Daniel the prophet coming to the place where it ought not to be, and so on. Anyway, 24 of Matthew says then that will be triggered the great tribulation of time. So now, in the second verse, Daniel 11, and such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall it corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword, and by flame, and by captivity, by spoil many days. Now, when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Don't forget something. Most of the things that God gave Daniel were actually to the what will happen to his people, the Jews, at the end of time. It's just the time of the Gentiles in general, from the Nebuchadnezzar dream and so on, that, But it narrows down to the end, to what will happen to it, what will befall these people at the latter time, the time you and I are living in right now, So that's why we are interested in to know what the Bible says will happen in our time at this time. So where we just read now, so we're talking about the Great Tribulation, like I said, in this area that we just read now. So in the Great Tribulation, as in the days of Maccabees, those who have faith shall witness divine intervention. Those who know their God shall do exploits and so on, So it has been happening in history before. I'm going to touch a little bit about it again, the Maccabees and so forth, stood against Antiochus and so on like that, So then we see it just a little bit more and so on. So in the time of the Great Tribulation, so we know. So those who have faith shall witness divine intervention in so many words in those verses we just read. 35. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. What he's saying here is, yes, others who refuse to serve the Antichrist, whose faith may not be sufficient for deliverance, will pay with their lives. However, this will be terrible days when it comes about and so on. But on the whole, they will have the effect of purging, purify the remnant of the Jews. It's mainly to the Jews. I know the church is gone in all this era of time and so on like that, you know. So it's mainly to the Jews. He even told him, what shall be for that people in the latter days? And last 2 weeks ago, we talked about that at length. You know, what happened to them and so on throughout history, you know, and so on like that, you know. 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnetize himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. So the wilful king of the end time that Antiochus typed is clearly the Antichrist system. You know, I know that he's typing, yeah. His setting up of the abomination of desolation identifies him with the prince that shall come. Mentioned in Daniel 9, that we touched on that right now. So I said this need in history happened in history. Abomination was set up in the temple of the Jews and that you know, identify him with the prince that shall come of Daniel 9:26. Let me read that. 26 of Daniel 9:26. And after 80 days shall Messiah be cut off. That all took place, right? In name when the Messiah will come, 69 weeks from the edict of Cyrus, as well, that you know, 483 years, you calculate by 7 but times 69. It came as he said it will be, and the cut off me will be crucified and so on. It happened right there and so on, you know. But not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city, that your Romans and so on, you know. The city, at the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the world desolations are determined, he said. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. This is futuristic, and that future is here now. Praise the Lord. From the event we are seeing right now, all you are seeing on the world scene now are pointing to the nearness, the imminency of the final prophets that the Bible foretold in this chapter and so on, that you know. And with many for 1 week, and in the middle of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So he is certainly one of the beasts of Revelation 13, this wilful king now. You know, there are two beasts mentioned in Revelation 13, the beast of the sea and of the land. We don't have time to go there right now. Some believe that the wilful king is the first beast. And the other think that it is the second beast, which is the first prophet. But we won't argue that really. Regardless of which view is correct, both the beasts, the wolf beasts, represent the Antichrist system. We just name them the Antichrist system. We ain't distinguishing this message this morning. You know, some people fight over that. We don't, they work hand in glove. Anyway, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. You see, so we know that it's the Antichrist system and so forth, that, you know. Anyway, so it'll be the Antichrist system, you know, that exercises power or rule over the earth during the great tribulation. This wilful king will be that person. The wilful king will be so evil, he will have the combined abilities of Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and Napoleon. That's how evil he will be. You know, all the evil men that ever wrote. Nebuchadnezzar repented, we know that. The other one don't repent, like this other one and so on. So this man will combine the evil genius of these men together, this wilful king of the end time. Although he is indeed the devil incarnate, he shall appear at first to be the angel of light. This is so important. We are living in those days now. We are this time going to be really, really make beer and so on. Today, when we see how easily people today are led away into delusion by the most wicked persons who possess charisma, then we can see and understand that this Antichrist will have no difficulty in deceiving many people. In fact, like I said, it deceived the whole world, really, isn't it? If let me say, if it are possible, we even deceive the very elect. But praise God, they have the word of God, amen. Praise the Lord. And by the grace of God, according to what we know in prophecy, the elect shall be God. you know, the rapture and so on, that, you know, before he issued his mark and all that, you know. The fact is that the world in its dilemma will be looking for a Superman who can restore law and order to the world. And the world is in that position right now, you know. And when they find a champion in the willful king, they will be an easy victim of his bewitchery. And what's going to happen? His description in the 11th chapter that we are reading right now indicates a man who is the very incarnation of Satan, self-willed and determined to force his own will on mankind. He will tolerate no interference with his plans. He has a special animosity against the Jews and as well as those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ whom he left. And as the prince that shall come, that we mentioned in Daniel 9:27, he will make a covenant with the Jews for 7 years. Daniel 9:26-27. And I don't know if I read that before. Anyway, I read it again. And after 3 score and 2 weeks, shall the Israel be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the people shall come, you know, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, he said, and unto the end of the war, the situations are determined, he said, and so forth, you know. And he will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the middle of the week, he shall record the sacrifice and the obligation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determination shall be poured upon the desolate. So, we see that this is talking of the covenant that Isaiah already mentioned in the 20th chapter of his book of Isaiah, called the covenant of death, which shall be eternal. We can read that one, 28th of Isaiah 15:5. Because he has said, we have made a covenant with death, and with her are we at agreement. And verse 18 says, and your covenant with death shall be dishonored, and your agreement with her shall not stand. So he was a prophesy of it already. Daniel picked it up and so on, at the end of the age and so on. So in the midst of the week of 7 years, he will break the covenant and institute a reign of terror to the end of exterminating all Jews. He thought he would do that, you know, all Jews who will not give him worship. That's what he will do, or he tried to do. Simultaneously, he will cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and will profane the temple by setting off the abomination of desolation within his sacred chambers. Of course, we know Revelation 11 talk about the temple, the tribulation temple, Revelation 11 and so forth. And, you know, we know they have everything they need to be that temple right now. You know, at his time, it shall be built. We know that. Bible says it will be there at his time and so forth. Passage of Revelation gives a vivid description of this wicked king. He will attain great power, but this might and authority will be given him by the dragon. The whole world will wander after the beast, and they shall worship him, saying, in Revelation 13 verse 4, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So, throwing off his mask as a war benefactor, he will blaspheme God, make war with his sin, the Bible says, and give full vent to his satanic fury. Verse 7 of Revelation 13 tells us that, and it was given unto him to make war with his sins, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, just a diversion to the book of Revelation of the characteristics of this willful king. Let us return to our study in the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel 37 verse now. You know, they are all saying the same thing in the book of Revelation. As I talk about that covenant and so on, that, you know, 37 verse of Daniel 11. Neither shall he regard the God of his father. More information about the willful king. You know, the Antichrist and so on. That. More information here. Neither shall he regard the God of his father, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. What does that tell us? That he shall not regard the God of his fathers means what? Meaning the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all that tells us, it means that this wicked king will apparently have Jewish blood, or obviously refers to his Jewish origin. That's what it's telling us right there. We have a Jewish origin, have a Jewish blood. That's what it's telling us right there, so that you know. That's it, verse. So, now, but in his estate, shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not, shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. In other words, we can that verse, we combine that verse 36, 37 together, we can say, we can read it like that, and that, you know, it's like this as well. But in his estate, in other words, neither shall he regard the God of his father, put it together, these two verses, 37 and 38, he won't regard the God of his father, number one, but in his estate, meaning the God, the estate of God of his father, meaning God, Jehovah's place, in that place, he shall honor the God of forty, and combine the verses 37 and 38 together. So, neither way, we honor the God of his father, and another, you know. So anyway, so in the estate of the God of his father, it's not his men, he will honor the God of forces. What is that really? One way of looking at it is this. God of forces means the God of fortresses. That is, he shall depend on the God that can secure for him the kingdoms of this world. That's what it means, you know. He will depend upon the God that can secure for him the kingdoms of this world. And that God, as we know, is Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says so. The God of this world, as you know, you know. He will depend upon him to secure the kingdom of this world, you know. And who, in tempting the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew 4:8-9, you know, that's what it is, you know, the God of this world. He will depend on him to secure the kingdoms of this world. We know why the Lord Jesus Christ refused Satan's proposition to give the kingdom of this world in that temptation. The Antichrist will accept this. See? From the hand of Satan. That was going to happen at that time as well. For we read in Revelation 13:2 that the dragon, meaning Satan, shall give him, meaning the beast, his power and his seat, meaning the throne, and great authority, you see. So, you do that, you know, 39 verse of Daniel, where we are reading as well as that, you know. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds, with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge, and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. So, by the help of this strange God, the wicked king shall secure the stronghold, meaning the fortresses, or that means the fortified cities, all the 10 federal kingdoms that will happen up in Europe there, he will secure them, and shall garrison them with imperial troops on pretense of maintaining peace and concord. We do that. Thus, he shall increase the glory of all who acknowledge him and give them authority. And for gain, he will divide the land. So the wicked king, in his usurpation of deity, is further described in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, to about verse 4 to 4. So the Bible gives him described in different places in the same language. Let's look at him, what the Apostle Paul wrote by divine inspiration in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he as God seated in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. Absolutely, there will be a temple in Jerusalem, one of these days, called the Tribulation Temple, and so on, that I have been saying, and he will be there. He may even head there to be that temple, pretend to be the friend of the Jews initially, and the Jews are positioned in that position now where they can really accept anybody who can bring peace right now, you know. So God forecasting this thing before. In other words, this wilful king will take his seat in the Jewish temple and claim himself to be God by reason of his power to work great signs and dying wonders. He will delude and deceive those who live on the earth. Many Bible writers in the book of Revelation say that. Now, where are they going to go from here? The party of Armageddon, verse 40, Daniel 11:40. This Daniel prophesied all the way to the millennium, really, you know. That's in the 12th chapter and so on, but let's look at that 11th chapter and finish it off. Battle of Armageddon is mentioned here. Daniel 11:40. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him. Push at the Antichrist, right? And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. The prophet says, you know. So what he's saying here, the Antichrist's doings in the land of Israel will stir up the king of the north, that's Russia, without missing towns. You know, many Bible verses portray that. We can't go there right now. So we stir up the doings of the Antichrist in the Middle East, in Israel in particular, we stir up the king of the north, meaning Russia, who shall come against him like a whirlwind, the Bible says, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. We are even told that he will enter and pass through many countries. Where he has a stronghold in Syria, is the one holding, as you know, the king of Syria in power all this year, and so that, you know, I have many satellites in India, you know, I'm going to pass through many countries, satellites have belong to him, until he arrives in the land of Israel. We are told in the book of Zechariah what happens next, or then. The king of the north will take Jerusalem. Half of the city will go into captivity, the prophecy said. These are really preliminary events to the final battle of Armageddon. For God is gathering the nations against Jerusalem to battle. Let's look at that in the book of Zechariah 14, beginning from verse 1 to 3. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and a spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off, from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. So, verse 40 is saying this, of Daniel 11, and at the time of the end that the king of the south pushed at him. What does that really mean? Who is the king of the south then? Who is the king of the south? You know, let's talk about it a little bit and so on, that push against him. Well, since the Lord will gather all nations, right, against Jerusalem, all nations, Bible says, when he said all nations, he meant all nations, right, against Jerusalem to battle, as we are told in that, Zechariah 14:2. Then the USA and Britain will be involved there in one way or the other, because it's all nations, right? It has to be. So USA and Britain will be involved one way or the other, because back with the God, you gather all nations. And we know the USA has pledged herself to defend the sovereignty of Israel. That was a pledge. Even as we are talking now, the war going on in Gaza, right? US is supporting them anyway, you know. For Israel, right there, on the own, so this event has shown you what will come in the future. No matter what, they are supporting Israel now. You know, so always they do, most of the time. Different USA presidents do it to a different nation. I'm really surprised what Biden is even doing. You know, people are even surprised. So they are supporting them. He said what is going to happen, even the greater, situation in the future and so forth. So all the nations are coming to Israel, to the Middle East and so on. God will gather them. So USA and Britain will be involved one way or the other. So this great power, meaning US and Britain, will certainly participate in the warfare of the end time. They will. America cannot. Now, if they are going to participate, we are going to call. U.S. can't come through the European country because they are the claw of the Antichrist, like the kingdom of the Antichrist in Europe at that time, right? They can't come through the north because of Russia, the king of the north is coming down himself. So where can they come? They have to come from the south, you know? The only way the U.S. can reach there is through the south. So, through the south and so on. Anyway, so that's how he said the king of the south. So that's how we know that we believe. That from what we know, that you come through the south and so on, and not from the north or from Europe and so on. The fact is this. Yes. That's what the middle will be. Because it's... I'm sorry? Yes, that's right. Now, this is how in the video we go to Ezekiel said us. What is going to happen is this. The Russia, Russia will be in the Middle East first. That, is Iron Palestine and so on and Israel. When the Russia see what it is doing, Russia is has interest in the Middle East all this year, right from before Israel become a nation and so on. He was in the United Nations when they vote to give Palestine to Israel and so on. That's very important. He was the one who proposed it. He supported it. Our view was that, because the Jews that were living in what they call the kibbutz, like a communal community, and they still have it today. What happened during the attack on October 7th? They had the kibbutz, right? They still have them there. So Russia thought that, this is like our own form of communism. Let us help them so they can become our satellite. You want to get Israel and so on. But when Israel become a nation, they didn't look at them for anything. From that time on, Israel has become a great enemy because Russia wants a foothold in the Middle East, the West India, the Dead Sea West is there, and is the gateway to many things and so on. The land bridge between Asia and the rest of the world and so on. Everybody wants that place and so on. That's God's own land. How can you want God's own land? That's why God will get involved at the end of time, really. So anyway, so he comes. So when they see what the Antichrist is doing, he got there first. Then we come down. To come and push against the Antichrist and so forth. Then when USA, when the Antichrist is helping the Israel, US won't say anything initially. Maybe they helped to build a temple and so on. But later on, when you now see what the Antichrist is, particularly the Jews, then we get involved. And then the king of the north, you're going to take his point in the book of Ezekiel, you get involved. So they down. And the young lion, Zika said that and so on. Thank God this time we talk about it later in the future and so on. They are all involved and that, maybe Australia and so on, all those British, colonies and so forth, the king of the South and so on. But the US will get involved and so forth, at the end of time. So anyway, so that's what we see.
The reason why I'm asking is because we know that the first prophet is coming from America, which is the president here, and we'll be working in tandem with the Antichrist.
Okay.
So at what point will they turn against the Antichrist?
When Russia comes down, they will move. US will move when Russia is coming down.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to take its point? Right.
I was thinking that they would rather support the Antichrist instead of fighting the Antichrist, because you see, the Russians are coming against the Antichrist instead.
Yeah.
And then I don't think you see USA will now be against the Antichrist, or they will go to fight
You see, there is a coalition in India, Russia has its own interest, right? The persecution of the Jews by the Antichrist will move US to get involved. The persecution of the Jews by the Antichrist when they turn against them. And they can't help to be God.
Okay.
And people to persecute the Jews.
Okay.
That will move the USA to the battle.
Okay.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yes,
okay.
Go ahead.
So I know you read Zechariah 14:2.
Yeah.
So I still don't understand. It says, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle.
Yeah.
So would America to be against Jerusalem?
Where they are against this system, and are beginning to oppress the, that's how they will get there, the Jews. Remember, he was a friend of the Jews, he failed to be a friend of the Jews, right? Or even of the old world, really. He tried to deceive the others as his friend, a benefactor like Joseph, like he would be an evil Joseph, you know, of his time, you know. So now, at that time, he will now change his color to show who he is, you know. And when he now says, I'm God in the temple that he rebuilt, that's ushering the great tribulation, you know. And from there, things begin to gain momentum and so forth, you know. The Antichrist has interest in the Middle East too, you know. That's what another thing and something like that, you know. You see, if we want help them to build the temple, maybe and help them and that, you know. Yeah, all nations will get it. God is going to gather all of them, you know. Yeah. When they say all nations, they will have representatives, right?
Yeah. Of course, they are taking side from region and South Africa.
Yeah,
taking
side
with the Palestinians.
That's right. ICJ, International Court of.
That's
right. So they will have representatives in all of those things. So maybe they are armies and so on. They won't gather everybody to go and be fighting all their armies, right? They all have armies. Every nation has an army, right? So that's what will happen and so on. This word is in for something, the letter to get out of here, amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, God foretold world history from beginning to the end. Want to know true world history? Look at what has happened in the past and look at Bible prophecy. Then you can know what's going to happen in the future. The God who foretold what has happened in the past and foretold the future will also come to pass again as he says. Praise the Lord. Is that simple? Praise God. Anyway, let's quickly wrap this up and so on. So now, the final date of this age we witness. Three great powers in action: the Antichrist, the King of the North, and the King of the South. Those are your three great powers at play at the end time. You know, when the nations come into the final battle at Jerusalem, the Lord now, you know, will take a hand in that, the Lord will now intervene at that time. Verse 3 of Zechariah 14 says, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, and when he fought in the day of battle. It will be the hour of utter judgment for the Antichrist and his followers, as well as the godless Russia at that time, and our hordes. The book of Zechariah tells us, of the dramatic finale in verse 12 of Zechariah 14. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh will consume away while they stand upon their feet. Futuristic event coming. And their eyes shall consume away in their host. And their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. And they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. What is described here sounds like radiation at the end of time, atomic radiation. I can't go into that one, but you know, just in passing, the way that place will come and so on, you know, where the people's eyes consume from their sockets and their tongue and so on, that, you know. Anyway, so, and then shall the Lord himself descend from heaven, and his feet shall stand in that day, you know, upon the Mount of Olives. What we are taking away here this morning is this: there are the tide, you know, of the Antichrist throughout the writings of Daniel. Especially when God begins to give him his own vision concerning his people at the end time. What shall be before the people at the end of time and so forth, you know. And right to the 11th chapter and so on, right to the battle of Armageddon, as you just see, like in a very nutshell and so forth. The king of the north, the proper king of the north will come at that time, which is Russia, as we know, because Ezekiel enlarged on that. And the king of the south and so on, that'd be a great cataclysmic overthrow in the Middle East, and the Lord himself, we now have hand in it and run it up right here, you know. So that's what will happen, that chapter and so on. So let's finish by just we that God's children by providence and so forth. I mean, be like there. So maybe I'm going to have another one or two sessions on the book of Daniel concerning the time we are living in, you know, the 12th chapter later, you know, going on to the millennium, and you know, the final prophecy of Daniel and so on. You know, anyway, but now, for now, let's finish here. As far as we are concerned, in Luke 21, verse 9, to encourage yourself now. But when you shall hear, this is not to scare any child of God. Mm-hmm. Not at all, you know, the rather. So the Lord told us in 21 of Luke, verse 9. But when you shall hear of wars and commotion, be not terrified, for those things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. 28th verse of the same chapter. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. 34th verse. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that a day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole heart. Worship therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. You need to be prayed by them not to come, they shall come to pass, you know. But that's a way of escape. He just shows how to escape it through him. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's why we have to be very careful, you know. Let us take the warnings of the Lord seriously. You know, it happened in history before. You know, 120 years, one man called the righteous preacher Noah, preached for 120 years, warning the people. They were giggling, they were mocking. Oh, what has man suffered? You know, in the mockery and so on. Never a rain fall upon the face of the earth. There was even no rain at that time and so on. A mist will just come upon the face of the earth and just make it moisture and so on, that, you know. So that they have reason to doubt, right? But God has spoken, isn't it? So anyway, so let us take seriously the word of the Lord. You know, even you know, before the Lord told them that when you see Jerusalem, you know, for, you know, camp with army and so forth. No, the therefore is nine and so forth. Now the Lord says, flee. If you are in the city, flee and so on. That, or the mountain, if you are in the roof, so don't come down and so on. Now, you see, in 70 AD, when the those people that have come, that Daniel prophesied have come, the Romans and so forth, when they come, when the fanatical Jews, oh, don't go anywhere, the Messiah will save us, the Messiah will save us. Messiah come and tell you that you should flee when you see this thing, they didn't flee. But the Christians who believe the law and to the warnings of those serious, they flee to Jordan. You see, they flee and they escape those things, you know. We are the Jews, fanatical Jews. The Messiah didn't believe that I come and say, but they were born and they were sold into slavery and they were scattered like two in Luke 21:24, scattered into all nations. They paid by the sword and they shall be sold into all nations and so on. It came to pass exactly as the Lord said. So we don't want to be, I mean, they did not know the day of their visitation. So the Lord has given this warning to watch and pray, can I escape all this, which is surely come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Anyway, so Luke 12, God will take care of us. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord, even in times like this. Luke 12:22. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, either for the body, what ye shall put on. God will take care of us, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. 23rd verse. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment, he said. 29th verse, towards the end. Neither be ye of doubtful mind. I like that one. Don't doubt the Lord now, amen? Mm-hmm. You know, Peter and so on, that, you know. Oh, if he be the Lord, can I call? The Lord walking on the water. Matthew 14 or something like that. If he be Lord, the Lord says, I be not afraid. If he be Lord, can I come? The Lord said, come. And Peter walked on water. Then all of a sudden, the waves had been there before, so then boisterous and so on, you know. Then, you know, they begin to doubt and so on, they begin to sink. But it was right. He said, Lord, save me, Lord. The Lord is massive. We could have drowned and gone to heaven, but the Lord saved me. Praise the Lord. The Lord is big. He said, why did that doubt, you know? Anyway, so let us, don't be of a doubtful mind now. 31 verse. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's see another encouragement scripture here. Isaiah 41, Verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Oh, when you are going through trial and so forth, you will wonder, is the Lord with me? Yeah, he said he's with you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Just take him by his word, amen? I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The 13th verse says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. When you get in any situation and so on, remember the word of the Lord. He will help you. See, even David prophesied in Psalm 91, I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him, and I will show him my salvation. Joshua 1:9, that strange this morning, finishing with encouragement and so forth. The Lord said we should not be terrified by this commotion, war over there, war over there. Don't be terrified by, no, keep your eye on the Lord. Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Oh, someone will say that is Old Testament. Yeah, he's the God of the New and the Old Testament. He said the same thing in John 14, telling you the same thing, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, he said. First Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 16, last scripture here. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. We worship you, Lord. How the apostle, inspired apostle, put it like that. Maybe writing in prison. Know all these things and so on. You know, encouraging us. We thank you for letting us to know what shall be the roadmap to the end of the age. Lord, as we take care, as we take caution, that we may prepare ourselves. Bible says, it tells us to rejoice and be glad, you know, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. So therefore, Lord, in the name of the Lord, all these things you show to us, that we make ourselves ready and be prepared. For in our heart we think not, the Son of Man coming. We don't want to be caught off guard, Lord. We want to be watchful. Not even supersede the wise virgins, Lord, oh God. Well, the wise virgins, at least, you know, they slept, but they have oil. Nobody like that group, Lord, oh Father, who never even slept at all. We know they are the one that gave the cry, behold the bridegroom coming. Who we know of the bridegroom coming, but the bride more than anybody else? We want to keep awake, Lord, not to sleep spiritually. They will still sleep in the night. We know this age has crossed the 11th hour already. The midnight is not far off for this age, Lord. So therefore, Lord, we want to be kept awake. Keep our eyes on the Lord. He has promised to supply our needs as we keep our eyes upon him. Lord, we thank you for, giving us the privilege to understand, oh Lord God, the word of the Lord for our age, for our generation. Some want to go back to the past and so forth, but this is our own time, the best of our time. Thank you for giving us understanding, Lord. Lord, help us, O Lord God, to keep our eyes upon the word of the Lord and be ready. We give you praise and glory, Lord. Father, we thank you, we worship you, and we commit the week to your hand, Lord. Lord, as we go about our business, Lord, we claim your promises by faith. In the name of the Lord Jesus, favor everywhere we turn, in the name of the Lord Jesus, ordering our steps, in the name of the Lord, prospering the work of our hand, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the heart is the Lord and the fullness thereof, in the name of the Lord. Lord, continue to open to us your good treasure, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We know we are heirs of God. We are joined here with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, all things are ours. We just claim them by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus. All things whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them. Ye shall have them. The Bible says, oh, the simplicity of your word, we go with that simplicity this morning. We shall have them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we trust in the Lord that our joy, even encourage us, ask and you shall receive without fail, that your joy may be full. The Lord said, that's why I say rejoice evermore. We thank you for your love towards us, Father. We worship and adore you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.